knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys.
Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Hey, Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
Sup?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is I don't know if it's because winter is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
It went from 70 to 30 in a week.
Yep.
It legitimately was like 70 degrees last Wednesday.
It now, really was.
That was an anomaly. It was unseasonably warm that day.
Right.
But 40 degree, oof. Anyway, I've been a little down.
Sure.
I've mentioned this to you.
Yes.
I've been having some mental health days.
Mm-hmm.
People will, it happens. You wrestle with some depression. That'll happen. Even folks who don't, you have some down days. And one of the things that I have done traditionally, I need to make a change. I need to make some kind of a change in order to sort of kick myself out of the funk a little bit, sometimes.
Yeah.
And one of my old habits was I'd shave my head.
Yes.
I decided maybe that those days should be behind me and I should get haircuts. And
probably
so
wise.
I decided
you look good with hair, and you got a strong head of hair for your age, my man. You gotta rock it while you can.
I guess.
Yeah.
But so I decided I still gotta shave something.
Sure.
And so I got a back shaver.
Naturally.
I got one of those.
Yeah,
weird
you gotta
arms.
Shave something.
I have never shaved my back before in my 38 years of life.
Sure.
And here's the thing. I thought it would be super easy with one of those arm things, those long razors that you could put behind your back.
What?
No.
Why would you think it would be easy?
Because it's a tool. It's like, we have got this tool.
Are you saying that because we've made it this far, at some point someone should have made an easy-to-use back shaver?
I figured they had it covered.
Yes!
I figured, all right, here's a problem. It's hard to shave your back. We have constructed
this. It's an old problem.
In order to make it easy, we have got this weird thing.
Right.
No, it is still not easy. I don't think I did a good job.
Oh,
and
boy.
So far, the only result I've experienced because of it is it feels a little bit different and weird when I put a shirt on.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But hey, new experiences, right?
Yeah. I'm struggling to think, obviously I love you. You're my best friend. You're my partner. Mm. I really don't know if I've got it in me to shave your back for you. I just don't know.
I didn't ask.
I know you didn't ask, and that's why I'm saying this up front so we don't get into any awkward situations.
I appreciate that. That's fine. Yeah. I did take it in waves. I did a little,
sure.
I did a little work on it, and then like a couple hours later, maybe I came back and like I missed a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
I still don't think, like I said, I still don't think I did a great job.
Hey,
but anyway, I do. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm gonna do. I think this is probably because I had shaved my arms in anticipation of getting that tattoo,
right?
That I didn't end up getting.
Of course,
I think that kicked off a hey, what's it like?
Oh man,
thing. And so now I know.
Oh, my first leg piece. I got my entire upper thigh, whole thing done, and they shaved the whole thing. Swear to God, for another year, I just kept shaving it. It felt really good to be smooth. I just kept on going. I was why stop now?
I know that from when I have shaved my head, being in the shower and water hitting your bald head feels really great.
Oh yeah,
so, there is something to that. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, I feel a little better.
Yeah, good.
How about you? What's your bright spot?
My bright spot is my wonderful, my perfect wife. She had both her COVID booster and her flu booster yesterday. So this is a bright spot.
Her fluvid.
Yeah, that functions as a PSA to everybody. Get your booster shots and all that stuff.
I hear this season's flu is quite bad, both from the CDC and anecdotally from some folks I know who have fallen ill.
Oh, boy.
So I would second that. I think it's probably a good idea.
Yep. Well, I am happy for her. Luckily, I am immune to all infectious diseases, so I don't have to worry about it. It's nice.
That is one of the advantages of being the chosen one.
One of the greats, yeah.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Sure.
I had sort of prepared that we were going to, you know, maybe go back to the past, but I got to be honest, things are real boring in 2003. I'm going to skip ahead.
I think that's wise.
I'm skipping ahead to December 2003 for our next time we go back to the past, but unfortunately, we were pulled back to the present by some very important things, and that is that Trump announced his candidacy to run in 2024.
Yeah, yeah.
And so today we will be talking about the aftermath of this on November 16th, 2022, to see how Alex wrestles with the reality that he's going to have to make a choice.
Yep. And right now, it has not been a huge groundswell of excitement from what I'm hearing.
I would say the opposite.
Yeah. Everyone has apparently heard this and gone, oh, God, he's just trying to get out of jail. Motherfucker.
I think some people are saying that. Some people are saying, we did this dance already. Yep. Some people are saying, oh, God.
Oh, God.
But Alex is going to get down to really the nuts and bolts of it. He's going to talk about his feelings about this announcement.
Sure.
He's going to play all the relevant coverage and the footage from Trump's announcement.
Okay.
And we'll get down to business on that. But first, Jordan, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, June, who got one of Dan's bright spot buttons, so it'd be wild if they didn't become a policy wonk at some point. You are now a policy wonk. Thank you.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I got to say, this brings up an important point, and that is that I think that at least one of these other bright spot buttons might have gotten lost in the mail. I may need to make some more because I know that one has been out, and I haven't heard back from anybody that it arrived.
Okay.
And then one just went out. So there may actually, I think I might bump it up to five.
Okay.
I think that's what I might do.
All right.
I don't know. I got to figure this out because it's really unsatisfying to send these special buttons out. And then they get lost.
It is unfortunate.
So also, Scott T, happy birthday. This is from Brenna, but it is also back on September 10th.
Ooh.
We are a little bit late, but happy birthday and your policy
wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, this is a different Dan from Chicago, parenthetically also a traitor, and I support this message. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
You're a traitor, Dan.
You're a traitor, Dan.
Ooh.
Next, new wonk in the mix, Elliot from Melbourne, the real Melbourne in Australia, not that bullshit one in Florida that keeps on getting my packages. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. And I believe it's Melbourne.
Bibu. Next, Boofapalooza and Burger Flippin' Squatches. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And early Alex Jones sounds like a man with a perpetual mouth full of mashed potatoes. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, we have a technocrat, Jordan. Ooh. We have a technocrat in the mix. This is a fairly special one. This is an old buddy of mine.
Uh-huh.
So thank you so much to Micah Knows Where Dan's Dirty Laundry Truck Secrets Are Buried. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent. He's a loser little titty baby. I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Old buddy of mine, one of his nicknames would actually dox him, so I'm not going to. But also goes by Sweet Butter. He's been known as Sweet Butter on the streets.
Sure. Sweet Butter on the streets. Okay.
He was one of the four people who lived in a house. They were all a year older than me. We all worked at the movie theater together.
Right.
And they lived at this house. And I dropped out of high school, and so I was just over at their house all the time, getting drunk, having a blast, just freedom in an irresponsible way.
Of course.
And so one day, I don't know exactly what it was. It might have been a party we had over at the house. It might have just been another night of me chugging booze.
Sure.
But I passed out on the front lawn.
Uh-huh.
And I guess because it's a residential neighborhood and people didn't want
frowned upon. Frowned upon.
A lot of squares.
Generally speaking, yes. Frowned upon.
So they put a tarp on me.
Well, they didn't want you to lower property values.
Right.
You can do it in one night. If
right.
If a property valuer walks by while you're on the lawn sleeping, mm-hmm. Everybody loses a grand on their values.
So I wake up the next morning under a tarp to someone kicking me and a car horn honking, and I open up the tarp, and it's Micah's little brother.
Sure.
And his mom is in a van picking them up to, like, go to breakfast or something.
Of course.
And, man, that was not my finest hour. Anyway,
oh,
thank you,
boy.
Sweet butter. Appreciate it.
Oh, man.
It.
If you do see a man underneath a tarp, your first thought is dead body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your first thought is dead body.
Mm-hmm.
And that raises a lot more property valuation questions in my mind.
Not Micah's little brother.
Nope.
Decided to kick me.
That's not a terrible idea if you were a dead body.
It's not respectful.
That's fair.
Anyway, we start here on the 16th.
Okay.
And Alex is not jumping straight into the Trump news, because there is other news.
So that's what I wanted to start the broadcast with today, is that tomorrow's news today, I told you, probably a air defense missile. Play that clip when we come back, just to show we actually do our research, folks. We actually study a lot of things. We don't just sit up here and say things. I do make mistakes, but not on purpose.
So Alex is obsessed with bragging about how he had knee-jerk announced that the missile that had hit Poland
uh-huh.
was probably a surface-to-air missile defense from Ukraine.
Sure.
And now the signs are pointing to that being the case.
Sure.
And so he got something right accidentally.
Right.
And he is so excited about it.
By virtue of knee-jerk defending anything Russia does, he may have inadvertently
yes.
got it right.
And so he plays the clip of himself saying this on a previous show.
Oh my God, of course he does.
Incessantly.
Over and over again. Totally nailed it. Nailed it!
That's what's leading the show.
Okay.
I was potentially right about something.
This is exactly like if he was in his office and he like just threw a ball of paper all the way across into a garbage can and nobody saw it, but it was recorded, so he's like, I'm just gonna play this
mm-hmm.
over. You guys see this? I nailed it mm-hmm. right in the bin.
Good job, man. Good job. We're proud of you.
No, I did it.
So now on to Trump.
Okay.
The big news, and joining us is Roger Stone. I want to play several clips here and then go to Roger. This is Trump last night making the big announcement. He is running for 2024. We told you months ago that he had told people very close to the president and very close to this show that indeed he was running. The only question was when. So we are tomorrow's news today yet again.
You're not vindicated. You said he was going to do it on the 4th of July.
Strategic flexibility was roughly 5 months ago.
Right. I mean, like, that's not fair.
No, that's not fair.
You can't do that.
Uh-uh. Doesn't count.
Oh.
Doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
Negative points.
And I think just about anybody, like, could have and did predict Trump was going to run again.
Yeah.
I think that's not like the wildest tomorrow's news today kind of shit.
No.
Especially when you were so wrong about the he's set to announce.
Yeah. This is like predicting that it was a Ukraine anti-defense missile, but it was in the next war that I got it. Now, it wasn't this war, okay? But 10 years from now, it's the next war that I nailed that one.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he could probably gain a little bit of like, ha-ha, I wasn't far off, if Trump announced on July 7th.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we'll talk.
Sure.
So Alex plays some clips, and here's one of them.
And then Trump says, we will take America back, and we will put a stop to these electronic systems immediately, demand voter ID, same-day voting, and only paper ballots. Here is the president announcing in his key statement.
I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. We will do whatever it takes to bring back honesty, confidence, and trust in our elections. To eliminate cheating, I will immediately demand voter ID, same-day voting, and only paper ballots.
So Alex plays a few clips of Trump's speech, but he doesn't play some of them that I think were really troubling.
Interesting.
One that I think he maybe should have commented on was when he called cities in America cesspools of blood.
Sure, sure. Cesspools of blood?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that even makes grammatic sense.
He said that we're going to go to Mars. Base on Mars. For
what?
Sure.
Why?
It's happening.
What?
There was a period where he got lost in the term corridors of power.
Sure.
And he kept talking about how we're going to take the corridors back. He clearly was off script and just like, I want those corridors.
Gotta have those corridors.
But the most important thing I think that Alex needs to rebut here or talk about is Trump went on a quite protracted rant about how you need to kill drug dealers.
Sure.
He was
what?
He was saying that in China they have quick trials. Where they would catch a drug dealer and then have a quick trial, and then that night they'd be executed. And that's what we've got to do here in America. And he even said, quote, it's the only way.
What?
Yes.
80% of the people I have ever met have dealt drugs at one point or another.
Mm.
To
well,
me.
They'd be all dead. yeah, I think that's a little bit unhinged. I think it's terrifying.
Is that real?
Well, I mean, like, I would say almost, you know, a large portion of the country is leaning much, much more towards decriminalization.
Right.
More states are legalizing recreational use of marijuana, and Trump is like, no, fucking kill them.
That is wild. Of all the things that I would have expected, I mean, listen, far be it from me to not have my pulse on the modern voter. But I don't think you can go from paper ballots is the hallmark of my campaign and also state murder on a daily basis.
Well, sure. I mean, it would be outrageous the amount of murder you would be doing as the state.
So much murder.
So Alex should have a principled opposition to this on that point.
Less murder.
It should be so offensive to him to hear as a libertarian.
Yeah. yeah.
So that's one. And then two, Trump is talking about this as like something that he talked to Xi about. And like, this is something that China does well.
Okay.
And Alex should be offended by the idea of taking policy decisions from communist China.
Yeah, I'm wondering if conservatives are aware so far that from their Tea Party beginnings, they have conservative themselves all the way into thinking Sharia law is actually pretty great. As long as we don't call it that, we call it Christian law.
Put a little bit of a different branding.
Yeah, and why not have a dictatorship and murder people all the time?
Right. You want a dime sack?
Real small government stuff here is, listen, you can't be, we got to kill them. We got to kill 40% of America right now.
I mean, look, that obviously was maybe Trump going a little off script than his prepared remarks.
Sure.
I would hope.
Who knows?
Because a lot of it was so boring because he's just reading. Like, he's just reading a prepared thing.
He
obviously
can't do
didn't write.
Yeah, yeah.
That part was deeply upsetting. And I think based on, like, Alex's response especially, like, I question whether Alex watched the full hour speech.
Right.
I imagine he might not have.
I question anybody.
And second, if he has, then I would say that the goal or the move is just like, well, that's bad, but let's pretend he didn't say that.
Yeah.
Let's just go around the side of that.
Yeah, I feel like that seems to be the main move for just about everybody at this point.
Yeah.
Let's just pretend he didn't say anything. Let's just get out.
Those really troubling things didn't happen.
God.
So, Alex, now that Trump has announced, has a feeling about this.
And I'll say this. I've been on the fence about Trump DeSantis because I see it as a civil war and a distraction.
Civil.
But seeing all the neocons and the Democrats and the deep state and Ivanka and Jared come out against her own dad really makes me like Trump more. And watching the entire media pile on really makes me like Trump more, just reminding me how much the power structure absolutely hates his guts.
This is so annoying.
The more this boat runs into this iceberg, the more I think this Titanic is going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we keep ramming this iceberg a little bit harder, I know we're taking on water right now, but I think we can push through.
Everybody hates this guy, and I got to say, like him. I like that about him.
Pushes him to the top of my list.
Such an idiot.
His own family wishes murder on him, puts him at my highest list. That's how you know he's good.
So Roger is on,
sure,
which is also a sign. Yeah. You know, like, if you're having Roger on for the response, that means you want pro-Trump coverage.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
And Roger not only thinks that the 2016 election they tried to steal, the 2020 election was stolen, the 2022 midterm was stolen.
Why not?
But what about 1888?
That's a good question.
He's obviously challenging history, Alex. Only once in our American history has a president, Grover Cleveland, was elected in 1885. In 1888, it was stolen from him in a disputed election where he clearly, by the way, got a majority of the popular vote. And then he came back.
Are we caring about that now?
93. The energy in the room last night reminded me of 2015 and 2016. It was the old Trump, the old anti-establishment Trump. He was very disciplined. He was very much on message.
And that is not true. You ranted about killing drug dealers for a bit.
Yeah, but you just say it.
It was old Trump in both senses of the word.
Sure.
Yeah, so Grover Cleveland was robbed, man.
I mean, I do recall he won the popular vote and there was some shady backroom dealing, but if it's important to remember, he won the popular vote. He did not lose the popular vote in all of his elections and then was like, I was robbed.
Right.
Yeah.
If the standard of like winning an election is the popular vote,
Hillary Clinton won in 2016.
Republicans will never win again.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all over. So that doesn't count in your mind.
Yeah. So yeah. You shouldn't use that.
You got to pretend that doesn't happen.
Also, you had to go back 240 years or whatever. No, 140 years.
It was not the most recent of elections.
So
if you're still in the Reconstruction era, it's been a tick.
So, Alex, you know, like, look, man, people hate Trump and I like it. I like it.
Sure.
I saw where Rupert Murdoch reportedly called Trump like he did 6-7 years ago and said, if you continue to run, I'm not going to support you. I'm going to support a Democrat. Well, I mean, he did that before and then flip-flopped back to Trump later. So
good point.
I see this is a feather in Trump's cap that he's got the establishment lined up against him, and not good for DeSantis having them lined up for him. That does not bode well for DeSantis, even though I really like DeSantis.
Okay. So in fairness, Rupert Murdoch hates Trump as a person and has for a long time before his 2016 run.
Yeah.
Trump was a big media figure, and Murdoch is in the publishing business, including tabloid-ass magazines, so they weren't unfamiliar with each other at that point. Gradually, Jared Kushner convinced Murdoch to sit down and talk with Trump, and this led to Murdoch realizing that Trump was actually running and that all signs pointed to him being the inevitable Republican nominee, so he endorsed him. I'm sure he would have preferred a different primary candidate to have won the nomination, but I don't think he was going to back Hillary.
Yeah.
I think he would have just been like, I don't like this guy.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right, fine. He's running. Gah.
Important. Right. Important to keep in mind as people keep trying to throw narratives around at people long before anything even close to a presidential election is run, is that, hey, fuck all of these. Oh, they're arguing bullshit. At the end of the day, they're going to get in line behind racism. Let's calm it down, guys. Okay.
I mean, 2016 should teach a lot of lessons.
Yeah.
About the primary and how sort of humiliated so many people were who were trying to take Trump out in the primary.
And then they fell in line like the cowards and weaklings they are. Yeah,
so,
good stuff.
Alex is really just kind of trying to justify supporting Trump, basically. I mean, that's the overall vibe you're getting here.
Back to Trump and his announcement. I've said, look, start coming out more against the shots. Start coming out and saying no mandates, which he's already done, and really hammer stay away from children. And now more and more Trump's doing that. So he's moving in the right direction. Here he is last night.
I will get Biden's radical left ideology out of our military. And I did. I did. And in the first day, they put it back. They signed
what?
An executive order.
Is that how it
put
works?
It, back. It was gone. We will abolish every Biden COVID mandate and rehire every patriot who was fired from our military with an apology and full back pay.
Oh, boy.
What?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about hiring vaccine denier folk who didn't want to get a vaccine. We're going to hire them back with full back pay to the military.
Right. I understand conservatives live in wacky doodle world, mm-hmm. and that's great. But I just didn't know that that was a thing that would get an applause. Wouldn't somebody be like, hey, what about all of the other problems that we're facing?
Oh, you're talking about like drug dealers living?
Well, see, now I would have gone with a different policy thing again.
Yeah.
His announced policies sound like an insane person's diary.
No, you're not wrong.
Okay.
So, but one thing you're not getting here is a visual on Trump.
No, I'm not. Thank God.
So I'm going to allow a little bit of a, you know, there's a paint a picture for you.
Sure.
Now, let me add another good point. Trump looks great. Put that photo up from last night with Roger and his wife and Trump. You guys all look great, but man, Trump looks like he's lost 60 pounds or something.
Dude looks good.
Fine.
Dude looks good.
Great.
Uh-huh.
Good.
Looks presidential. 60 pounds down.
I still don't care,
he's
but fine.
He's plumping.
Okay.
He's plumping.
Is
They're
he plumping?
Filling him with blood.
Is he filling it up with blood?
10 bags of blood.
Oh, boy. No wonder. He's even oranger than usual. He's on his 10th bag of blood today.
Oh, he's plumping for
sure.
Oh,
man.
So Roger has some feelings about the House of Representatives now that it looks like the GOP is going to be in control.
Okay.
He has some dumb ideas.
Okay.
The caucus vote in which Kevin McCarthy was selected over Andrew Biggs is essentially meaningless. It does not make McCarthy speaker. The only vote that makes him speaker is the vote of the full House in early January. At that juncture, he has to have at least 218 votes to become speaker. Now, Congressman Matt Gaetz has said publicly that he has the votes to block that election. He doesn't need but a handful to block that election. And all eyes are going to be on Matt Gaetz. He's a pretty good politician.
No, I mean, I agree. So why is Trump endorsing, and I really didn't like that last night, fawning all over Kevin McCarthy?
I find that problematic myself. I've argued against it. I can't explain Trump. He is a force of nature, and sometimes he's wrong.
That's the kind of guy you want in charge.
Hey, you know what? I want somebody who won't listen to anybody and doesn't change his mind even if he's wrong.
So Matt Gaetz will absolutely not become Speaker of the House, and if he does try to pull a power play, he could fuck around and cause some really undesirable outcomes. The only way that this works is if he holds the party hostage.
Yeah.
If Gaetz has like 7 votes that commit to not flipping no matter what, he could threaten to tank the GOP winning the speakership. In that situation, I guess he could try to force the rest of the GOP reps to get in line with him or let a Democrat be speaker, but I don't see that possibility happening. I think the best that you can do, and I mean, this is kind of just decent politics, is threaten to do this.
Right.
And then negotiate some kind of a concession with McCarthy. Try and get maybe some positions in some committees
he
and stuff.
He has leverage. Use it to get what he wants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get to be the speaker. McCarthy is going to be the speaker.
Right.
And that is why Trump is being nice to him, because they live in a reality.
I would say that Matt Gaetz is probably smart enough to realize that if his profile goes up any higher, people are finally going to put him in jail where he belongs. I'm pretty sure he's a criminal of many different types.
I think he strikes me as the sort who would love to be speaker in that role.
Sure.
I think he would, but the reality of these numbers just doesn't work for him.
No.
He would have to essentially, and like the role really of the majority leader or the speaker in party leadership,
sure,
is about corralling votes. It's about getting people on the same page.
Right.
And if you have 7 people or whatever that you're holding the vote hostage for, it's going to be very difficult for you to take on the leadership position of all of those people you've just pissed off.
Yeah.
And forced yourself to be in charge of. I know that Roger knows this.
Yeah.
And he's being a little bit dumb.
No, here. It's wise to take a, I mean, hey, in any negotiating position, you start by saying, I would like 100% of what it is that we're going to go for. And they're like, how about we give you 10? And then you argue from there. You know, like Matt Gaetz says, I'm going to be the Speaker of the House. And they're like, instead, how about you get a nice chair? And he's like, I like a nice chair. You know, like that's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets it.
You'll end up with a committee position or something and everybody will move on.
Yeah.
So, look, Roger has some harsh words for DeSantis. He is clearly now coming onto a more Trump position.
Sure.
Where he was kind of like, yeah, both sides. Eh.
Mm-hmm.
Alex has a DeSantis is better about the vaccines narrative.
Sure.
And Roger wants Alex to get off that.
Okay.
But to go back to the point you made at the very top, and I want to be very clear about this, his position on vaccinations is identical to that of Ron DeSantis. If I need to bring you the video of Ron advocating the shot and saying it will protect you from infection, I can do that.
No, I remember Trump and DeSantis being wrong. It's just that DeSantis has been coming out against it more and put in that good Surgeon General that I really like trying to save kids. All I've been trying to do is, I'm not a politician. I'm not trying to be part of a political system. I'm an issue person. And so I want Trump to really hurt these poison shots and save more people. I'll forgive him for being bamboozled into it. So I'm simply operating on the issues. And I know you do as well, but you operate in a political area. I don't, Roger.
All I'm saying is today, both of them oppose mandatory vaccinations. Both of them oppose vaccinations for those in the military. Both of them oppose the masking of our children. Their positions are identical. Rhetorically, you're right. The governor has been more aggressive about it. But at the end of the day, their positions are identical.
It's interesting how Alex is just like, I am a issue guy.
Yeah.
And my issue is I hate vaccines.
Right.
And if Trump will just do the thing that I want him to do, I'll write a story where he's fine. I'll come up with a way to like convince myself that it's all good because he's doing what I want him to do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
That's about it.
Cool.
I do appreciate the I'm an issues guy,
issues.
And my issues are if everyone, including his family, hates him, that makes me think he's a pretty good guy for the job.
I think that that's not an issue for me.
That seems like that should be an issue.
All right. So Roger wants DeSantis to stay governor.
I want him to continue the job he's doing. As governor, where in the last 2 years of his term, he's been very strong. He's 42 years old. He's got plenty of time. I say it yet again. If he wants to run, it's his prerogative. I think he clears the field. I'm not sure he can sustain a longer conversation. He's very good in a controlled environment. He's very good when he controls the microphone. But in a wide open, free fighting debate with a brawler like Donald Trump, I think Trump has personality. He has presence. He's got some. He often has a self-deprecating humor. The governor's kind of charmless in that regard.
Trump has like a lot of ways you could describe his humor, but self-deprecating isn't one of them.
No.
Started his speech where he was announcing his candidacy with. We are the greatest movement perhaps that has ever happened in the greatest country on earth.
Yeah.
It's
not
self-deprecating.
In a way, you could read it that way because it's so narcissistic that you'd think, well, there's no way a reasonable human being would be anything but cleverly sarcastic about this absurd thing to say.
Even if he's operating in the realm of parody, I don't think it's still self-deprecating.
No, absolutely not.
Also, wow. I don't think that it would have been appropriate to say something like that about Ron DeSantis 2 days ago.
I would say
he can't handle himself except in a controlled environment. He's charismaless.
Yeah. I think what Roger just said there was Trump is going to make him mad, and then DeSantis is going to wind up dropping all the slurs that he doesn't say on the regular.
Or he's...
Like, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, Trump is going to be a dick to him, and then he's not going to know how to handle it, and he's going to look like an
idiot.
He's
going to look like a fucking idiot, yeah. Although, I will say, I was fairly confident that that's how it would go and will go, up until I read the... Hey, Trump's insult is Ron DeSanctimonious?
Someone else wrote that.
Oh, that's garbage sauce.
It's a first attempt.
Yeah, it's bad. Well, if that's what he's going to come with, I'm not worried about Ron DeSantis getting mad.
I don't think we're in the throwing hands phase of this.
Sure,
yet.
Sure.
This is still just opening.
Right.
Ron DeSanctimonious.
A little jab. Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll let it go.
See how you respond.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. All right.
So Alex, not going to say who he's picking.
Sure.
Between Trump and DeSantis.
Although it's
pretty fucking clear.
We all know.
Well, I have to go with my gut, and I'm not going to say which man I'm supporting, but I think overall Trump is the better choice. He enrages the system. They're totally scared of him, and seeing the establishment get behind DeSantis makes my skin crawl, but I don't blame DeSantis for that.
Okay, so I'm not going to say who I'm in favor of, but one guy I'm only going to say positive things about, and then the other one I'm going to say a negative thing about.
Right.
So you could decide.
Right.
But I'm not going to say who I like.
I am hedging my bets in the least hedgeable way. I am going to bet it all 99% on this one, and then 1% on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that I have not yet decided between the two.
You know what we call that?
We call that what?
Strategic flexibility.
I like it.
Yeah. So Roger has a explanation for the midterms.
Okay.
Now, we remember boats from North Korea.
I recall that.
They were involved in 2020.
Right. So Roger's got to really up his game here.
No, he does not.
Oh, no.
I mean, this is the Ron DeSanctimonious.
The game is low.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Whether we nominate former President Donald Trump or whether we nominate Governor DeSantis or who we nominate, if we can't have free, fair, honest, transparent elections, what's just happened in Arizona is an abomination. The ballots that were tested the night before the election are the correct 19 inches long. On election day, the paper ballots that are sent to only Republican precincts are 20 inches long.
Oh,
the machines are specifically made not to accept them. In one case, an election judge I spoke to said a person tried to get the tabulator to receive their ballot 15 times and it was rejected. Well, it's rejected because the trays inside the tabulator are not made to take that paper. Now, this wasn't done by accident. This was done willfully.
Dun-dun. So apparently the globalists know that they couldn't get away with election hacking fraud this time and that too many people were out looking for the ballot mules, so they couldn't box stuff. You know, that's just no good. So the only way they could think to steal the election was sending ballots an inch too big to Republican polling places.
Here's what I like about their terrible plans.
Right.
All
right.
One, the globalists have terrible plans because these people have terrible plans and no imagination.
Right.
Right. The thing about it is there are diminishing returns there. Their best idea is a bad plan.
Whoa.
And they wasted that 2 years ago. So now we're all the way down to bad plan number 55. And the globalist bad plan is, aha, add an inch.
You know how obvious this would be to trace back, like, in terms of
I mean,
the
absurd
production orders,
yes,
of, like, who made it an inch bigger?
Absolutely. Like, this is a terrible plan.
The organization that would be required in order to do this would leave such a, I mean, if you pardon the expression, a paper trail.
It would be very obvious.
So I'm excited to see that investigation
come
out.
Yeah, good luck, Roger.
So this is based on a theory that was published in the Gateway Pundit, relying wholly on the expertise of one person, a guy named Dan Sundin. At the end of this article in Gateway Pundit, there's a hat tip to David and Aaron Clements, who presumably brought this all to the attention of Jim Hoft's twin brother. David Clements is a New Mexico State University business school professor who's been suspended from his position because of vaccine and mask mandates that
sure.
he was protesting.
Sounds right.
So he's going to be rehired with back pay.
Of course. Any moment now.
Actually, he was suspended with pay.
Okay.
So he's gotten to collect a salary while he's gone on tour of around the country, appearing at rallies about how the 2020 election was stolen, among other various right-wing conspiracy topics. He's been on that Reawaken America tour.
Oh, my God.
Clements has been making interview videos on Rumble about election fraud nonsense since 2020, and he's interviewed luminaries like Ron Watkins and, naturally, Dan Sundin. The two of them are associates in this election fraud stuff over the years. It's not like he's some unbiased expert who the Gateway Pundit
is covering. They're getting the band back together.
I have no idea who Dan Sundin is, other than that his resume is always written super vague on all of these websites. He is an expert, so I know that.
All right.
I can tell you one thing about him, and that he is not the same Dan Sundin who's on the FBI's most wanted list for cyber crimes.
It is not the same guy. Okay.
Because I watched a video interview with the guy from the election fraud conspiracies, and he looks nothing like the FBI's most wanted flyer.
So, plastic surgery is what you're arguing here.
Nah, I don't think. Well, I mean, you could age.
Hide in plain sight. Hide in plain sight, you know?
I'm fairly convinced that it. I'm 100% convinced it's not the same person.
Of course it's not.
But it is like a unique enough name that I was pretty, like, wait a second.
Yeah, it is. I have not heard many Dan Sundins before. And you would
both
think,
in the field of like technology.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. That's a little odd.
But yeah, okay. not the criminal.
All right.
Anyway, Alex was right about this this missile thing.
Uh-huh.
And so Roger needs to congratulate him about it.
Sure.
Alex, this is really quite extraordinary. Look, I got up late today because I was up celebrating the historic announcement of Donald Trump. And therefore, when I went to bed, I heard that Russian missiles had attacked Poland. Then when I came on your broadcast, I saw you laying out the truth. Then I went online figuring that, well, everybody else will probably be saying the same thing Alex is saying. And you know what, Alex? Nobody other than InfoWars, by and large, is reporting the truth. This underlines the importance of InfoWars and why they are so desperate to take you down. This underlies the importance of InfoWars and why I so value this platform and this forum, because I know whenever there is a concerted effort at propaganda, regardless what the issue, whether it's Donald Trump or whether it's Governor DeSantis or whether it's the situation in Ukraine or whether it's what the Red Chinese are up to, the safest place to go to find out what is really going on, and it's put out there fearlessly and with the knowledge that we're going to be attacked as conspiracy theorists and nut jobs and extremists and, this one always makes me laugh, white supremacists, all of which is false, is InfoWars.
This is such bullshit. Like, these assholes pat themselves on the back so hard every time one of the random denials they make accidentally happens to end up being accurate. Alex did say that he thought the missile that hit Poland was a surface-to-air missile from Ukraine, and it's now appearing that that is the case. But it's so dishonest for him to pretend he was the only person talking about this. A Newsweek article from a day before this episode was recorded said, quote, "The Associated Press initially cited an unnamed senior U.S. intelligence confirming that Russia was indeed behind the cross-border strike. Hours later, the same outlet cited three U.S. officials who said preliminary assessments suggest the missile was fired by Ukrainian forces in an attempt to intercept an incoming Russian missile." On the same day as this episode, Business Insider published an article including, quote, "A statement from the office of Poland's president said it was highly probable that Ukraine had launched the surface-to-air missile in response to the Russian barrage and that, quote, we have no evidence at the moment that the Russian-made S-300 missile was fired by Russian forces."
Sure.
There were a lot of people, some random people on Twitter and some in official positions, who were jumping the gun to blame Russia. That is fair enough. But what Alex and Roger are doing is just as bad as any of those people. They're manufacturing a fake consensus that they stand in opposition to. They're pretending that everybody in the media, everyone in government, all the power establishment were pushing the message that Russia did this on purpose and that Article 5 should be invoked. And that it was only InfoWars, the wrongly maligned but always right truth tellers, who had the courage to stand up and say that it looks like it could be a surface-to-air missile. This is an illusion. They weren't the only ones to voice this kind of concern and this possibility. This is a white supremacist outlet, and they're constantly wrong about almost everything. Alex didn't think Putin was going to try and invade past the Donbass and said that Zelensky was a double agent working for Putin. He said that Russia had paid off the Ukrainian army, so the war was only going to last a few days. He said that Putin was going to probably nuke us tomorrow for like the last 2 months. Alex is full of shit, but every now and again, one of the things that he says out of a knee-jerk defiance accidentally happens to end up looking accurate. And you can tell how rare it is by how excited he gets and how often he needs to bring these things up.
Yeah.
He's played this clip of him saying the missile was a surface-to-air missile 3 times on this episode, I believe. And I think... And think about every time he has to answer for how he's constantly wrong about everything. He just yells Jussie Smollett and thinks like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Alex makes a gigantic deal out of these rare instances and pretends the thousands of times he's been wrong never happened, because this has the effect of subtly tricking the audience into thinking that he's right way more frequently than he actually is. It's a pretty simple and very intentional manipulation tactic, and I guess it works.
Yeah, the weird thing is this is probably the one spot where you could really kind of dig in with a conspiracy theory that kind of works either way. You know, like if you're saying to me that the conspiracy theory is all the governments involved in this, except for the Ukrainian government, have kind of correctly realized that if it is Russians' missiles, they did fire them, and even if it was an accident, it did cross over into Poland, that's a real big problem.
Right.
And that maybe, if it's an accident, maybe we all just say, oh, Ukraine made the accident, and then it's less of a problem. It's still a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same problem now, is it? Now, if we find out 60 years later, they do the investigation and that's true, fine. That's great. It's just, why are you saying that you got this part right? This is a boring part.
I understand. You know? I understand what you're saying.
It's a boring narrative.
Alex's conspiracy should be what you're saying.
Exactly. He should be elevating his conspiracy game.
But he can't, because that would require him to say that Russia did do it.
Right. But I mean, then he also gets to say everybody in the West is lying. I mean, it's so confusing.
Right. But they're lying.
Right.
In a way that is advantageous to Russia.
Sure.
And his angle would be that Russia did actually attack a NATO country.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
I think he would have some problems spinning this
yarn. That would be tough to fit in his overall worldview, but that is right there. It's not far off.
I mean, if you're talking about just like writing a conspiracy theory, you're right. It does have more like intriguing yarns to pull.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
threads
yeah.
to pull, as
yeah,
it were.
Yeah.
So you gotta support InfoWars.
Mm-hmm.
We know this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason. And it's...
He owes $1.5 billion?
Well, that's the real reason.
Right.
But there's a storytelling reason, too.
Ooh, okay.
So the media makes fun of Roger Stone selling T-shirts and signed stones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we go to the people. It's a badge of honor. It's a badge of how we're grassroots, that we fund ourselves with books and films and high-quality supplements and things that you need. And so please... You're not going to get the information we're about to cover next hour anywhere else. The euthanasia of children has now begun.
Sorry,
even
what?
Healthy ones in places like Canada.
What?
It's already starting here.
What?
Two powerful special reports on that. It's even worse than I was reporting on yesterday. I'm going to start the next hour on that.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, they're euthanizing children, and that's why you've got to support InfoWars.
Wow.
So, just sort of a content warning, I guess. I don't think anything is too severe, but there's going to be a lot of conversation about, like, assisted suicide in the coming clips.
Okay.
So, you know, I know that some people maybe have some feelings
sure.
about that, so just be forewarned. That's going to be a, much like Raptors, it will factor heavily into this
gotcha.
Conversation.
Yeah.
So here's, you know, Alex, we always love it when he tells us about how we belong to the city.
We do belong to the city.
But sometimes there's other songs that he rants over.
We can belong to many places.
And if I'm like a judge, I'm giving this one a 4.7.
Ooh, out of 10, right?
To be in this position and persecuted by the most evil forces in the history of this planet. Their covert operations have now been drawn out in the open. The process of them trying to break us with the process of their downfall and destruction. It has been foretold. And now, see it all beginning to manifest. Because the mind of man is made in the image of God. What we envision over time, we are able to realize. That's why they feed us ugliness and death and destruction and tell us we're trash, so we manifest the dystopic system that Hollywood spreads. But we will manifest the blueprint that God has given us and our stairway to heaven. All right, I want to do this. Some stations don't carry this segment, and this is some big news. So I'm going to come back in with the latest developments on the next big rollout that they've been beta testing, and that is forced government intimidated social credit score suicide.
Oh, whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yo.
I think I mostly gave it a 4.7 because I think that song's all right.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no passion there.
He doesn't have the timing right at the beginning. You know, he's talking over the wrong parts. And they're just, you know, there's just songs that have it.
Yeah.
There's just an it to You Belong to the City that makes it perfect for yelling nonsense.
And nothing
over
against that song. I think that song, I don't know what it is, but it sounds like something I could definitely have on in the background
totally.
And enjoy.
No,
but yeah,
not
for,
a bad
for
song.
For an Alex rant, I'm not entirely sure.
It doesn't have it.
No.
Yeah.
But I think here, I've started to crack the code, I think.
Sure.
I think Alex really just likes saying, and now.
he likes it. Who hasn't spent a couple of days
now.
Getting into the La Fontaine for a little too long? Come on.
It has been foretold.
In a world.
Such a dork.
It is, you know, you can't.
In a world.
So here we go. Alex gets down to business and cites these two stories that he has regarding assisted suicide.
Sure.
That he is now claiming is like the killing children, euthanizing children.
Right.
And government social credit score, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Put them both together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are two reports that tie into all of this. We're going to be getting to Canadian government preparing to euthanize children without parental consent. It's one of the reports. And then globalist push mass suicide.
So these are the two stories that Alex is operating off of. And I guess they prove that the government is trying to force people into being euthanized.
Sure.
The first headline that he read is, you know, it's about this Canadian law, and it's just the title of a Greg Reese video that was cribbing mostly from a Tucker Carlson segment, and that segment itself is reporting on an article that was posted on Barry Weiss's Substack. All of this just boils down to the Canadian Parliament passing a revision to their medical assistance in dying legislation, also known as their MAID, M-A-I-D legislation,
sure.
About who is eligible to receive that care. This revision was passed in March 2021, but it doesn't take effect until next year. In that revision, they repealed the requirement that the patient's natural death was, quote, reasonably foreseeable, which is to say that they opened up this kind of care to patients who were not immediately terminal, but might be living in a terrible amount of pain that is untreatable.
Right.
The revision also specified, quote, that persons whose sole underlying medical condition is mental illness are not eligible for medical assistance in dying. That is something that is obscured by Tucker's coverage, and then now Alex is just completely lying about.
Right.
Even if you take everything that Tucker says in his report as truth, the person who he's basing his entire story on is 23 years old, so this is not a child.
Yeah.
The headline, quote, globalists push mass suicide, is just a video that was posted on band.video. It's a John Bowne report. It's just a lot of it is covering similar territory and some of Alex, you know, talking about how the globalists want to kill everyone.
Yeah.
The second headline is not even worth paying attention to, but the first one does bring up a fairly important conversation, which is the sticky issues around assisted end-of-life care. Obviously, I do support access to this kind of care, but there are cases where things can be a little bit complicated. I do think that these are things that people should be talking about, but the perspectives of folks like Tucker and Alex are worthless. They aren't dealing with the issues as they actually exist. They're creating a fake version of the issue to use as a prop to attack their political enemies and keep their audiences in fear about how they're going to force your kids to be euthanized or whatever. And in reality, when we get to this, there is going to be, I'm going to play a little bit of the Greg Reese report. It is kind of a weird situation that actually I have a suggested solution to, and Alex and his whole crew don't. So anyway, here's the intro that Alex gives to the Greg Reese report.
All right.
Big Pharma, owned by the big banks through the UN, the WF, is promoting government extermination of the mentally ill and the physically disabled, calling it liberal and trendy. Bill Gates' death panels on steroids. Here is a critical Greg Reese report, and I'll give you the rest of the story.
First of all, I can't believe that Alex doesn't call these Reese's Pieces. It's such a fucking missed opportunity.
You can't do it.
Yes,
you
can't. I can.
No, you'd get a cease and desist.
No.
That would happen instantly.
It's a piece. It's a news piece.
No, you'd get a cease and desist from Reese himself.
A Reese's
Not even the company. A Reese's Ceases.
Deceases.
Yeah, you should watch out for his Reese's Pieces.
No, they come on. Reese's Pieces would be so good. I don't think they'd get sued.
Yeah.
Come on.
When he goes to church, he's always talking about Reese's Jesus.
Anyway, this is a completely inaccurate description of this report or the entire underlying story.
Sure, of course.
But here is the beginning of the report.
The film Soylent Green was made in 1973. And set in a dystopian world in the year 2022, where the government is secretly feeding the people food
made of people.
Oh. And the most pleasant experience one can have is state-assisted suicide. While government-run media pushes the idea of cannibalism, government-assisted suicide is officially now a thing in 2022. Before COVID,
officially,
you could always count on modern medicine to keep you alive.
What?
So long as you had the money or insurance to pay for it. But these days, the hospitals seem more likely to liquidate you. And in Canada, they will help you kill yourself, even if you don't really want to die.
Amir Farsoud has applied for medically assisted dying, known as MAID. He lives in constant agony due to a back injury, but has started the process for end of life because his rooming house is up for sale and he can't find anywhere else to live that he can afford. He barely survives on Ontario disability support payments, which are just over $1,200 a month. He doesn't want to die, but being homeless is not an option.
I know in my present health condition, I would survive it anyway.
There is no answer in Alex's world for this problem other than to let Farsoud die on the street.
Yeah.
They would be opposed to the government paying for his housing. They would be opposed to the government providing him with free health care. So what's the actual answer here? I'm not saying that Farsoud should go to assisted suicide because of the circumstances like this, but I think that this situation does highlight a really sticky issue where the reality of what he's living through brings into focus how cruel the system itself actually is. Mm-hmm. This video from the Canadian News is about a month old, and by the point Reese is making this video, Farsoud had actually launched a successful GoFundMe, and he'd raised $60,000 to secure his housing, and he'd gone public that he no longer is considering medically assisted death.
Right.
Farsoud has a really good perspective on the ethical issue about how his poverty was driving his thinking. From a Toronto City News article, quote, he said government should be focusing on fixing the issues causing poverty rather than the moral ramifications of those in poverty seeking MAID. Quote, I think the proper solution is to not have that problem, is to alleviate what's causing the problem. If society is concerned about people like me and like the 500,000 other people on ODSP in poverty, then bring them out of poverty. That's the obvious solution. If they were out of poverty and they had a roof over their head and food in their mouths, I guarantee you MAID wouldn't be a consideration. The whole debate would become superfluous. I'm certain that InfoWars will not follow up on the story and cover this comment from Farsoud because they aren't interested in this perspective. They want to use him as a prop to build up a fraudulent argument that the government is trying to force people to kill themselves, but they'd honestly be pretty fine with letting him die on the street, especially if they knew, like, that they could call him a communist for his ideas.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, like this, but this is a little bit of a difficult kind of thing. Like, he has an underlying chronic health condition that is miserable for him to live with without proper care and a place to live.
Yeah.
And his poverty is threatening access to that medical care and the place to live.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously, the solution isn't, well, medically assisted suicide. But it highlights how someone in that situation would look at that as like, well, I'm going to die on the street anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like that's stark.
The clear point is almost kind of too simple insofar as like, what is the point of the government, of all of us together, if we can't even get the simple Maslow's hierarchy of needs handled, you know? And if you're saying that I can't have access to food, water, or shelter consistently or guaranteed, if I can't have guaranteed access to those, then death is borderline a lateral move, or at the very least, I'm living right next to it every single day of my life. That's what he's expressing. Really, what you're saying is, whoa. We want God to kill you. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to have control over anything.
Yeah, and I think that beyond this report being embarrassingly produced, it doesn't really touch on what the real issue is here, or what the subject of this story's perspective is.
Yeah,
and I think that is dishonest. It's disingenuous.
Yeah. It's exploiting people's discomfort with death. Yeah. It's using that same emotional trigger like they do with LGBTQ or any number of those things that allows you to override your even ability to think empathically.
Well, and really, when you break this down, this Amir Farsoud's story is about somebody who is facing the prospect of living on the street with a chronic condition that causes severe pain and all this. And because of that, he's considering end of life, medical assisted death.
Right.
Right. That is the story. It's about the poverty driving this.
Yeah.
With the underlying medical condition, of course, it's not just his poverty.
Right.
But it's being reported on InfoWars as an instance of the government wanting to kill you.
Yeah.
And that's not correct.
No.
That is exploiting this person's pain because, quite frankly, if presented accurately, the audience would come to the conclusion too easily that the answer is the opposite of Alex's politics.
Yeah. I mean, well, the answer is, in a certain sense, the government is killing him slowly, and that's why he's considering this. That's the point. Is that if you're saying that the government is doing their job well right now, that is going to lead to this man's death. You have sentenced him to death, and you've sentenced him to pain as he waits for it.
So there's more to this report of Greg's analysis. I already did the Reese's Pieces joke.
Yeah.
According to the Canadian government, they are getting several requests for suicide from children who they refer to as mature minors. And they are seeking to amend the laws so that these children can be euthanized without their parents' consent. There are posts on social media that suggest this might be true, which shouldn't surprise anyone.
It should really concern any of Reese's viewers that he seems to be citing the Canadian government, but also saying that posts on social media seem to indicate that this is true. Like, that's not good. And it should tell you that Greg did zero research on this subject past looking at some social media posts.
He saw some posts on social media.
And maybe one of them mentioned the government.
Ooh.
So here are some things that you need to keep in mind. Assisted dying for children has been legal in the Netherlands since 2002, and in the intervening 13 years, 7 children apprised themselves of that care. Belgium made this kind of medical care legal in 2014, and 3 children sought that care between 2016 and 2017. It's something that has a precedent, and other countries' experience tells us that it's something that's used by people, including children, who have severe medical conditions that are not treatable and cause a great deal of suffering. Mature minor is a term that exists in Canadian and American law already. It's not something that's being used specifically in this case, which is how Greg is definitely trying to make it sound.
Sure.
The Council of Canadian Academies did a study, and their conclusion was that the law already exists that mature minors can make medical decisions for themselves that involve informed consent, and that there isn't really a compelling reason that this should be any different when it comes to medically assisted death.
Yeah.
There isn't something that makes this a different case from other informed consent requirements surrounding mature minors.
Right. The only thing that makes it different is your discomfort with death. You know, scientifically or medically or whatever. Yeah, of course. But that's what I'm saying.
The possibility in your mind that maybe we will find a cure or something. You know, sure.
It's just the cold, hard logic doesn't give you an excuse to be like, but this is different just because I feel a way.
So the organization Dying with Dignity has suggested some safeguard where informed consent from a parent or guardian would be required for patients aged 12 to 15, and consultation with a parent or guardian would be required for people aged 16 and 17.
Yeah.
Which seems like, I mean, it's not going without the parents' consent, even for these mature minors, people who have the ability to recognize consent.
And, right.
In terms of their medical decisions, you know, even if you're 16 or 17, it would still require consultation with a parent,
right,
or guardian.
Yeah, no, I mean, the numbers themselves have already made something really clear, which is, like, if it's been available since 2002 or 2004 or whatever, and in the intervening time, a total of 7 people from the Netherlands.
There's not many people there. It's only, the population's like 30.
So they've lost 40% of their population.
Right, right.
Right, right.
In the entire next generation.
Yeah, exactly. They got to start all over.
It is a very small number of people.
And I think it is something that we can trust people, you know, as somebody who struggled with suicidal ideation and of course the attempts therein. It is like you can trust people to want to live. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times when you don't, but at the end of the day, if you have to wait a month, you're going to find a reason to want to live. Mm-hmm. You just want to, you know?
And honestly, like the circumstances that these children and their parents are in are so difficult to imagine.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think that the government certainly should ever be like, hey, you should kill your kid.
Totally.
And I don't think that is happening.
I don't think they've ever done that ever one time.
No. And I also don't think that if a parent and a doctor and the child are all kind of the mind of like, this suffering is never going to end.
Yeah.
It's so hard for the child doesn't want to continue suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't feel like the government really, it seems very cruel to not allow all options.
No, there should be I absolutely support a fuck this law, you know?
It's a hard, complicated, and emotionally heavy subject.
Totally.
And I get why people have strong emotional reactions around these kinds of issues. But from the bottom of my heart, I have to say and continue to stress that Alex and InfoWars' contribution to this conversation is worthless and counterproductive.
Yep.
They aren't even living in reality.
Nope.
And I don't... I just think they should shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I know.
It's not helping.
There's so many things where it is like of all that, just stay out of this. You know, like I'm mad at them for
about everything.
Well,
really.
Right. But I'm mad at them for all of their bullshit. But then sometimes they just go places where it's like just fucking stay away from this. Get away.
I think it's different for you and me, probably, the things that they have that reaction to.
Sure.
But I think that I find it more offensive when there is a point against the maybe everybody should have free access medically assisted death. You know, like that is somewhere where there is conversation that, you know, is relevant.
Right.
And they're screwing that up.
Yeah.
They're making that conversation much more difficult to have in a sane and rational world.
Right.
And I think that hurts the people who are most hurt already.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, a reasonable conversation includes empathy for the people that this is happening to, themselves dealing with all of this stuff. And instead, it's people arguing about the government trying to kill you.
Yep. So here's the last clip from Greg's report. This is fucking stupid.
And the motive for helping Canadians kill themselves is allegedly to save the government money.
They have saved $90 million. So, I mean, that's like 4 missiles flying to Ukraine. The government has infinite money for refugees and for, you know, foreign aid and for, you know, Democrat campaigns and for waging war in Ukraine, but no money to keep people alive. That's too expensive.
Ugh.
This is the plan how they're going to save money.
Ugh.
Sure, they're going to welcome in couple million foreigners every year, put them on the free healthcare ticket.
What?
But average Canadians, sorry. Sorry, it's time to suicide. It's time for death.
After 6,465 individuals committed suicide with the help of MAID, medical assistance in dying, the Canadian government saved $86.9 million, about $13,000 per person. That's what an individual's life is worth today in Canada.
What?
The economists running
That's
Canada
what you
concluded
got?
That the savings from MAID are so far negligible, but the suicide program should continue.
What?
Don't cost that much. I mean, we could really be ramping this up. Maybe you could have people pay tickets. Like maybe this is a solution. Maybe in Canada, you pay like $10,000 and you get to kill somebody.
This is the predictable outcome of
this is
government.
A predictable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, totally. Totally predictable. Also, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Also, Harrison's little joke there at the end is just basically like an old Chris Rock bit.
Yeah.
Like the stabbing chair.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Chris Rock? I think it was. Anyway, the only evidence that's being provided here that the government of Canada is motivated by saving money is Harrison Smith, another InfoWars employee, saying so. This is not good reporting. In reality, the number that Harrison is citing comes from an October 2020 report titled, quote, Cost Estimate for Bill C-7, Medical Assistance in Dying. It was conducted by the Parliamentary Budget Officer, and it was prompted by the request of an unnamed senator. They looked at numbers from the Netherlands and Belgium as guides and found that it would be about $90 million in medical expenses would be saved by this bill. Well, basically what they're both citing, Greg
sure.
and Harrison.
Okay.
However, it's very clear, this report, when it says, quote, many studies have shown that healthcare costs in the last year of life are disproportionately high, representing between 10 and 20% of total healthcare costs, despite these patients representing about 1% of the population. Nevertheless, this report should in no way be interpreted as suggesting that MAID can be used to reduce healthcare costs.
Yeah, of course.
This is how Harrison is interpreting the report. And then Greg is using Harrison's fraudulent interpretation to suggest that the Canadian government is motivated by financial considerations to offer assisted dying care. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
The actual report that Harrison is citing includes this part that he conveniently ignored. Quote, to conclude, expanding access to MAID will result in a net reduction in healthcare costs for the provincial governments. However, this reduction represents a negligible portion of the healthcare budgets of the provinces. Dr. Tanu Saputro wrote in 2017, we should strive to save on suffering and invest more in its reduction, which may in turn reduce requests for medical aid and dying. InfoWars and everyone who work there are a raft of liars. Their arguments suck, they just make most of what they're saying up, and the rest is based on them abusing primary sources and misrepresenting them. And the solution to the problem they're pretending to be so upset about is the thing that they entirely don't support, which is more government spending on social welfare programs. Yeah. This is just a dead end of them complaining about something they don't care about to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he even says that the government says it's negligible. It's almost like in the report, the guys are like, why are you making me do this? I don't want to do the cost budget analysis for assistance. Why did I wake up today and have to do the cost budget analysis for assisted suicide?
And Harrison's, like, his whole thing is like, oh, they have all this money to send things to Ukraine, but not to keep people alive. Oh, so you want the government to spend
on
that?
Yeah.
Is that what do you within want? Your set of, of priorities, the federal government?
You're just a bunch of fucking children. Stop it. Stop it. Just tell me if what you want is what you want, then say it and back it up. And then whenever you find out you're a fucking idiot, say, I'm sorry for being an idiot.
Oh, they have plenty of money for this thing I don't want when they don't do this thing I don't want.
Ugh.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Good argument. So Alex finally gets to calls. He said at the beginning of this episode, I'm going to take all these calls about Trump. Because we got to find out what the temperature.
Got to do polling.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Informal, anecdotal.
Yeah. So here's the first caller.
I got to say, my heart is troubled right now with this whole Trump thing, Alex. We need to have, I'd like to have a real debate on Donald Trump. Because this subject in particular is really, really bothering me.
I'll tell you what, you got it. You got it. And John, don't forget. Put him on hold. Get his name and number. We will do. How many guests do I have tomorrow? Let me check this, make sure I'm not going to say this wrong. Got a bunch of guests, I'm not sure. But we'll do, in fact, I already meant to do this. We'll do at least 2 hours of calls on is Trump good or do people support Trump and should we support Trump? Because sure. I have mixed feelings as well, okay? And I appreciate you. Get Charles back on tomorrow.
That's what you're supposed to be doing today. That's what you said you were going to do today. Why are you doing it tomorrow?
I mean, unreal.
Look, this guy wants to have a debate. I think I'm going to punt.
Punt. Pass.
But the whole thing is supposed to be taking calls what you think about Trump and his announcement that he's going to run.
Well, he doesn't want to hear it.
So ridiculous. So anyway, he gets another call.
Okay.
Trent in Las Vegas, Nevada. Go ahead, Trent. Thanks for calling.
What's going on, man? A big time supporter.
I just want to know, how in the world are you even considering throwing your weight behind Trump when there's how many children are being stacked up in bodies, old people stacked up, more and more maimed every day from these shots? And you say that he's backing off from these shots, yet when I watched that Full Send interview or podcast, he said it was his greatest achievement of his administration.
Ooh, shit.
Well, that was like 6 months ago. But listen, I don't think Trump's perfect. DeSantis was for the shots at first, too. I'm just glad he's backing off of them. What? So do you think DeSantis is better being backed by the whole deep state?
I think we need to get a whole brand new face up in there. I think all of them need to be charged with the RICO Act, treason, and hung on live television.
Bold!
Who do you think is a good Republican or populist person to vote for?
I mean, maybe Rand Paul, but still, he's been in there for how long? He's still part of the problem. We've gotten here by...
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. We should draft
Rand everybody.
Paul. I should get Rand Paul. I'm having flashbacks.
Yep.
This is so annoying.
We're just never going to change.
Oh, yeah, maybe Rand Paul would be a great choice.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do that again. Let's run it again, everybody, from the top.
Yep. So this caller actually has a good point in terms of remembering Alex's rhetoric.
Yeah, it's weird whenever you remember what Alex has said then speak it back to him. He goes, oh, that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Hey, buddy, how can you possibly be in favor of this person who has murdered a million children or whatever, stacking up millions of bodies with the poisonous shot that
he's not. Listen. I have some problems with him.
Right.
He stacks up a lot of... Listen, he stacks up a lot of bodies. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But who is going to trigger the libs?
It's true. DeSantis has no charisma.
Nope.
So Alex remembers that he made an ultimatum to Trump about the vaccines.
He did do that.
I mean, we still can't vote for a guy that's not being open about these children being maimed from these shots.
Hey, I put the ultimatum out to Trump. I put the ultimatum out. You're absolutely
right. How'd that
go? That's why I'm very, very torn about this situation.
You shouldn't be. This is actually,
how can you not?
This is an argument for you being less torn about it, because like, if you put the ultimatum out and Trump didn't care, that should tell you that you have no purchase here.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit.
Yep. Yeah.
Look, I made the ultimatum. He didn't listen. And so I am not going to stick to my end of the ultimatum at all.
Right.
Why would I do that?
Listen, if there's one ultimatum that I think of when I think of my ultimatums, I think of that time Obama gave that ultimatum. And you know how that worked.
So he has another caller. And God, this is just annoying.
You crunch the numbers. Trump has so many hardcore supporters. He's the way to go. I'm hoping he comes around with the vaccine. I'm hoping he surrounds himself with a Roger Stone, Steve Bannon, and MGT, and the rest of them. Hopefully, he'll come around. But in the meantime, we have to get behind Trump. No one else is. DeSantis isn't running. He didn't say he was running. So who else are we going to vote for those people to have a problem with Trump? They're going to have to see that Trump will come around. We got the numbers. We got to win this. That's the
thing.
Well,
AJ, I'll promise you this. And the earlier caller that raised all this, we're not going to screen your calls, and you're going to have a place to voice your opinion to millions of people about what you think. And tomorrow, I'm going to open the phones up for multiple hours on this one topic.
All right, so we're going to do it tomorrow.
Yep.
And the first caller didn't raise this issue.
Nope.
Alex did. He wanted to take calls on this subject.
You know.
And now, I don't know.
That was in the
tomorrow.
Past.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
You know, when you live in the moment, a lot of people don't really recognize what it means to live in the moment, which is to forget everything that you said earlier.
And put it off till tomorrow.
And blame it on other people.
If you live in the moment, tomorrow does not exist.
Nope.
So Alex has a guest on.
Sure.
Instead of dealing with his... Caller's feelings about Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy, Nelly.
There's only a few people out there that expose the New World Order at a greater level than I did before I did. It's not about the credit, but it's about understanding who was awake first so we can understand who has the discernment. And it was Steve Quayle and David Icke.
Oof.
Both great minds.
Turds. Punch bowls.
And both living legends. And
yeah, so we got Steve Quayle on.
He's legendary turds now.
He has risen to the top of the pile of InfoWars Steves.
Man.
Steve Kirsch has seemed to fade into his Substack background. Steve Pachanek is still... I got to be honest. I need proof of life on Steve. I don't think I've seen, like, I went and I tried to find some YouTube videos. Like, his channel seems dormant. I don't know.
Oh no,
Steve's in the wind.
Maybe he's got some health issues.
I don't know. Maybe he's happy to not get be involved in this bullshit.
Man, you know what?
Or maybe he's just thankful that he didn't get subpoenaed in the InfoWars trial because he has so much to do with the Sandy Hook
shit.
He
really does have a lot to do with it. His getting away scot-free on this is pretty insane.
Well, I mean, I think the statute of limitations might have helped him a bit.
Man, you know, it is interesting to think, now that I've if Steve does have health problems, he, I think, much like our boy, is just going to, we're going to be the only people who recognize his passing.
Like Larry Nichols? Nichols.
Yeah, with Nichols, it's going to be, we're the same two people. We're going to be like,
well, I think
poor Steve, and Alex is going to forget he was alive.
I think Alex brought up that Larry Nichols died like a couple weeks after in passing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're the only people who are going to throw out an RIP. Why are you hanging out with people like that? We all know it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So anyway, Steve Quayle has some interesting thoughts. And by interesting, I mean incredibly boring and unhinged.
People are looking for a political solution to a spiritual problem. It's my contention that obviously the United States has declared, the Democrats specifically and the Republican whores have declared war on God. They've declared war on everything that made our country great. The destruction of the family, the destruction of a grateful nation versus a one that's basically, we're in a rape, pillage, and plunder. The United States has been taken under.
Hey, look at that rhyme.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Weird to think of the United States. The United States, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Raping and pillaging and plundering.
Unthinkable.
Who would have imagined?
Now, I gotta say, it's fun to say that everybody who you don't like has declared war on God.
That is fun. That is just a great thing to do.
Doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room in terms of negotiation or reconciliation or compromise. All
right.
That stuff seems to be kind of
difficult.
Impossible.
Well, if you declare war on God, God himself is usually pretty stringent about that.
Yep.
He doesn't like war.
I think this is dumb, but I do appreciate the rhyming. And I think that Steve Quayle, low-key, is a little bit of a fanciful gentleman who likes wordplay.
Okay.
I'm being told, and this is exclusive to your podcast today, broadcast today, is the fact that they're already setting up another vehicle, another crypto, and I call them kleptocurrency. Somebody make that name up. But, Alex, we're watching the cryptocurrencies turn into kryptonite for the financial system.
Yeah. I think he's having fun.
That is the woke insurance of crypto jokes right there.
I think he likes wordplay and I appreciate it. He could write a children's book if he wasn't nuts.
I call it klepto. I call not Las Vegas. I call it lost wages, Dan. Come on now. Because you take your paycheck.
Gamble.
Yep.
So Steve rambles.
Taxachusetts, Dan, you get it?
Because they
have higher taxes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
So Steve rambles a bit.
Uh-huh.
He has a penchant for that.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Great Reset, just get rid of that Bravo Sierra. It's the great destruction. It's the total destruction.
More like the great sunset.
Because, again, I want to say this, Alex, COP27 in Egypt, people don't understand this. But they rewrote the Ten Commandments. They thought they could do a better job than God, making literally the creation their God, worshiping the creation. But in the meantime, they're doing stuff behind the sight of the common man. By the way, 400 private jets, 400 private jets going to Mount Sinai. By the way, the one they
went
to wasn't the real one. The real Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia, but where they went to have
details a
Alex,
little bit.
I'm being told, I don't think anybody said this publicly, but I'm being told by people that know that interface of that world that they've already decided who the coming world leader is.
Ooh.
And they kept him hidden, but this is the
same it's the Antichrist
that Prince Charles, now King Charles, referred to at that global summit. So,
is it
ladies
me?
And gentlemen, all of this politicus distracticus. And
boo!
I want to say something. Isn't that the definition of insanity?
What
boo!
The fuck? Okay, so we have the COP They rewrote at the climate conference, by the way.
Yes, the climate conference rewrote the Ten Commandments.
Rewrote the Ten Commandments. 400 private jets flew to Mount Sinai, but it's a fake Mount Sinai.
I feel like that was tangential at best.
There's a lot of tangents.
Yeah.
I mean, if you bring up the point that there are 400 private jets there, fuck yeah, man. Of course. It's a very stupid thing to do if you're doing a climate conference. Right. Looks real dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't disagree. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the spiritual dimension of Mount Sinai.
There's
and the
issue.
War on God and the new Ten Commandments. I thought that the new Ten Commandments was the Georgia Guidestones, but then I guess someone blew them up.
Blew them up,
and
yeah.
And now we just got to...
Those are the old Ten Commandments now.
Right, the old,
so the
new.
Old new Ten Commandments.
Right, now right. There's the new new.
The new new, yes. Correct.
So anyway, Steve.
Taxachusetts, Dan.
Mm-hmm. You should write a children's book.
This is what the question I get asked more than any other one. How is it that the whole world goes into lockdown at the same point? How is it that the economy shut down at the same point? And the answer to that is simple. Lucifer.
This is a world government test of power. So it's not just info wars. It's not just money wars. The key is spirit wars.
It is spirit wars. And again, you know, people are having all types of interactions with cryptids, strange creatures.
Sure.
Tons. Everything from incubus, succubus.
Nonstop.
All
so many
kinds
succubi.
Of the veils being rent, Alex. And
a lot of cryptids.
A lot of cryptids.
A lot of cryptids. Lot of cryptid.
I call them kleptids because they steal so much, Dan.
Boy. Yep. This is the state of affairs that we find ourselves in. Steve Quayle warning us about chupacabras.
There's just nothing that is less. You can say it for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people come up to me and ask me all the time.
All the time.
How is it that gas prices all around the world can be so high at the same time? And I say, Lucifer.
Right. I mean, that's dumb because people went, like, first of all, countries didn't go into lockdown all at the same time.
Oh, of course
not. There was some difference. But, you know, you could say all around the same time. And,
sure.
I mean, it's because there was a global pandemic.
That's how pandemics work.
Yeah. I think that is not Lucifer. It's pretty easily explainable in terms
usually.
Of just sort of real world conditions.
Non-Luciferian.
Also, though, they brought up spirit wars there.
True.
And I want to just remind everyone that mind wars and spirit wars were the two catchphrase ideas from Reset Wars that Alex has just abandoned and not really expanded upon
completely
after
gone.
He released the culmination of his life's work.
Most important thing he's ever done.
Which flopped and was really just a contract thing that he did for a weirdo get-rich-quick hypnotist fella that Alex hasn't mentioned since.
He did a photo shoot in Creek, so I feel like he's contributed quite a bit to us. Yep. Yep, the most important thing
look
he's
at
ever
me
done.
In a creek. So cryptids
sure.
are out there.
Cryptids are in play.
The Squatch
is in play. Yeah.
Yep. The what other cryptids do you like? I know the Mothman is
sure.
probably a cryptid. Right?
I was you know as much as I love the Squatch, I was always the
Mr. Mixoplix.
No. What's the abomination? Not abomination. What's the
abominable snowman?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The Yetis. Sure. Yetis are my jam. Yetis were always my jam.
Okay, so you're just it's just a different environment. Squatch.
It's a different Squatch. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's a different flavor of Squatch. It's a different evolution of. The Pokemon, if you
sure.
will.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. All right.
How about you?
I don't like cryptids much.
You don't like cryptids?
No, I don't find them that interesting.
Not a Loch Ness guy? What do you?
I like Nessie.
You like Nessie?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But that's just because I feel like Nessie's not coming out of the water.
No, there's a kinship between the two of you.
Well, I have a long-standing respect for things that are in the water.
Sure.
That's a different domain. That's a different domain. Whatever you all are doing over there, I respect you.
Right.
Keep it in
it's
the
not
water.
Not for me.
Keep it in the water.
If I was meant to be there, I would already be.
Right. Yeah, Those animals that come in and out of the water?
No, don't trust them.
No.
Can't trust them.
No.
You can't live in one place or the other. Pick a lane.
Right. Well, actually, that's not true. If they come onto land and they're cool.
Sure.
If they're not hurting anybody.
Toads.
That's fine.
Toads are pretty cool.
Yeah, except for the ones that are poisonous.
Right, but you can lick some of the other ones.
I'm not going to get into it.
Toads are a whole thing. Okay.
Well, in the same way that I like to swim in the water,
sure.
But I'm not going to hurt a fish.
True.
I'm not going to bother them.
Yeah.
I'm a traveler in the waters.
Right.
I don't mind if
you're a guest in foreign lands.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't mind if a frog hops around. that's fine.
That's what it is.
Yeah, but
sure.
You get like an alligator or something like that.
That's a dinosaur.
Keep it in the water.
That's a dinosaur. Keep anything it in the water. Anything more than a million years old, get the fuck out of right. here. I'm done.
So anyway, Nessie, I'm fine with.
Okay.
I think we'd get along. So we have one last clip.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
We're going to come back and talk about some key ways to protect ourselves and get into what's coming next and the Russia situation and then blaming the missile attack on Russia, even though they admit Russia didn't do it. But Steve, at the end of the day,
well, I mean,
lead us in a minute of prayer before we go to break. Because you don't do this a lot, but lead us in a minute of prayer because God's the answer.
So Steve has a little prayer.
You know, honestly, if God's the answer, then why is Steve answering all these questions with Lucifer?
Great question. I don't have an answer.
I'll tell you, I do.
Okay. Lucifer?
No, it's God.
Okay. So the reason that people would still be blaming Russia, even if it was a surface-to-air missile that was launched by Ukraine that went errant, is because they wouldn't have been launching that if Russia wasn't firing missiles.
See, that was the thing.
So there is still an argument to be made that, hey, at the end of the day, Russia still bears some responsibility for the circumstances wherein this missile would have been launched. But Alex doesn't care about that.
We weren't out for a joyride with our missiles, just... Wee, let's fire them willy-nilly into the sky. No, we're being attacked by a nation that is trying to kill us with no interest in really fighting a war anymore.
That is the rationale there, if you're curious, Alex.
Yeah.
Steve is so uncompelling that these are the clips that I have of him. The declaring war on God cryptids are out and about.
On paper, those should be good. Everybody declaring war on God, everybody cryptids.
And we had fun with them, but there's just nothing meaningful. Except for some wordplay, which is nice. I do appreciate that Alex has the Trump announces his candidacy.
Sure.
He immediately starts waffling back to like, all right, I support Trump again.
Yeah.
There's a very clear indication of it. He sets out to take calls about it, can't handle having these conversations with the callers.
Right.
Has a nonsensical interview with Steve Quayle.
Yeah.
And is just a gross piece of shit about medically assisted suicide.
Man,
what a day.
If I'm Trump, if even on InfoWars, my candidacy announcement goes over like a fart, it's not good. It's not good.
No.
Nah, and the worst part
this
is...
This guy cried about how he would die for you last time. And now he doesn't want to talk about it. Doesn't want to talk about it. Would rather hang out and pray with Steve Quayle.
Yeah. Here's what happened, Trump. Over the pandemic, everybody watched Great British Baking Show. We prefer nice reality TV shows to shitty reality TV shows now. It's just how it works.
Well, I mean, if you want to actually use the baking show.
Sure.
I would say that his announcement speech was a little rough and ready.
I think you...
I like that slang so much. I'm jealous of the British being able to use that.
Yeah, I just like to say rough puff pastry.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I just
crack
enjoy.
Lamb.
Every time they say rough puff pastry, I'm like, it feels good rolling off the tongue. It's bop, bop, bop. It's good stuff.
I'm waiting the finale of this season. I don't think it's out yet.
It is in Britain, but not in the United States.
Oh, boy.
You would have to use some sort of VPN or
torrent. That would be impossible.
Yeah.
I might have to look into that after the show.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I like Sandro.
He's
pretty
great.
Cool.
Sandro's great.
Pretty cool.
Love Sandro.
He's a big, muscly guy, but he takes care of kids.
Brilliant. He's funny. He's smart. He's got the whole package.
God damn it.
Oh, my God.
We're
in love with him.
Yeah.
As a household, even my pups jump up and sing.
He's got too much going on for him.
Oh, I mean, he doesn't need this. This is the problem.
We'll finish this off air. Anyway. Jordan, we come to the end of this, and to quote myself, what a fuck.
What a fuck.
We'll be back for another episode.
Indeed
but
we
until
will.
Then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
Oh, hey, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I got excited there because I realized that Steve Quayle is the person who warns us about...
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.